there, the crown of thorns, certainly takes us back to the beginning of sin, when Adam sinned and the ground was cursed for his sake. So he who knew no sin was made sin, and he was made a curse that he might deliver us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. So Christ, we go back to these fiery judgments. We can see Christ hanging upon the cross and the fiery vengeance of God descending upon him because our sins were laid upon him. And when he was upon the tree of the cross, and the scripture says that he was naked and hanging there upon the cross, they gave him gall to drink, and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the reason that God forsook him is because he is of a purer eyes than to behold sin, to look upon it, to condone it. And so he forsook him, and it's believed it was for 6 hours, I believe it was 3 hours, wasn't it? They hung him at 9 o'clock, and 12 o'clock it said it became darkness, and for 3 hours it was darkness upon the land there. And so our Lord, as he hung there, we could see him as the sacrifice for sin. He was our scapegoat. And the scripture says that he was wounded for our transgressions. And as our scapegoat, when the priest confessed the sins of Israel on the scapegoat, they had two there. One was led out into the wilderness and to a land uninhabited, never to be seen anymore. So our sins were never to be remembered against us anymore in that sense. And there was the other sin, the other lamb was offered for sin, and he was slain, and everything about him, the blood, of course, was sprinkled on the mercy seat, but the entire carcass was burned up. There was nothing spared about it. The priest could not eat of that lamb. Under peace offerings and several other offerings, when people transgressed the law and they wanted to come and confess before their God, they could bring an offering to the priest, and the priest would slay it, and they would eat the meat. That meat was for the priest. That's what they ate. And they could eat, and they brought bread. They had the bread, and they brought the honey and different things, not for offerings, but the different things they tied. This was for the priest. They lived off of it. But many of the sacrifices the priest could eat, and even sometimes the man that brought the sacrifice could eat with the priest, and some of the sacrifices, not all of them. And some the priest could eat, but in this sacrifice of the sin atonement, the priest could not eat nothing. This animal was completely burned up, the skin and the hooves and the entrails and everything about it. And here, the thorny fiery bush was pointing to that, to the holiness of God that was that would pour out that day on the Son of God its wrath, declare its vengeance against sin. And so fire is a representative of judgment, or the presence of the holiness of God judging against sin. And as we read here, in one day, this earth that has been cursed, that's under a curse, shall be burned up. It shall be purged, and the works therein. And then we shall look for a new earth, a new heaven, and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Lord's people then will be delivered from this present evil world. We think that the children, the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was in the fiery furnace. And we see that the king threw them in the furnace there, and he said he saw one like unto the Son of God walking around with them in the fiery furnace. And it said they came out, and there was not even the smell of smoke upon them, not even a hair was singed. And yet the fire was so hot that the men that were commanded to throw them in the fire or were killed from the heat of the fire. And yet not a hair was singed. You know, you can hardly pass by a fire and not get some hair singed on your arm or something. It's so easy. But yet we see the presence and the power of God that's able to deliver His children, even in the fiery furnace. And when that day comes, it'll be a day of deliverance for God's children. God knoweth how to preserve them out of temptation. Now, Lot down in Sodom, and you know, it said God knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of temptation and to reserve the wicked until the day of judgment. To reserve the wicked until the day of judgment. So, as we think within ourselves that maybe the Lord is tarrying, maybe the time is long and He's tarrying a long time, but we just need to consider that with our Lord, that His tarrying is salvation for His people, and He's the delivering His people. He delivered Abraham. He chose Abraham. And when we talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham is a God of election. He's the one that elected Abraham. The scripture says that Abraham was a Syrian. He was an idol worshiper. He wasn't no different from nobody else. He was just a sinner. But God chose him and told him to leave his people and come into a land that he would show him. 75 years old at that time when God appeared to him. But when you talk about the God of Abraham, you know, he said to Moses, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses was well familiar with that history. And so Abraham was the man that God chose to be the father of the nation of Israel. And then Isaac was born when Sarah was 90 years old and past childbearing. And so the God of Isaac is a God who can quicken the dead. He's one who can bring life right out of the dead. Sarah and Abraham was as good as dead, the scripture says, as far as producing children was concerned. But there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And so the God of Isaac is a God that can quicken the dead. And Jacob, well then, the God of Jacob is the God that's long-suffering. Jacob was one that surely tested the long-suffering of God. And God said that he's a God that is gracious, merciful, long-suffering, and showing mercy unto thousands and generations of thousands and thousands. And so our God, when we think about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's the God that told Moses that he is the great I Am. But in the New Testament, he's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ, of course, is a sacrifice for our sins and the vengeance, the holiness of God that burns against sin descended on our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says that not only was his body an offering for sin, but his soul was made an offering for sin. And he said that his soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And he went forward and fell down on the ground and prayed. And he said, Father, if it be possible, with thee all things are possible. Let this cup pass. But not my will, but thine be done. And it was not the will of his Father that that cup should pass, because he came to put away sin. He is our sin barrier. And he put away sin. And so now he saw. Isaiah said that he would see the travail of his soul and would be satisfied, and that he would prosper in the hand of the Lord, and that he would not be discouraged, and neither would he fail. And so our Lord was not discouraged, and he would not fail. He did not fail. Set his face like flint towards Calvary, and they took him outside of the city on the hill called Golgotha, and they crucified him between two thieves. And he was like a lamb. He opened not his mouth. He came for that purpose, and he came to fulfill the will of his Father. And he did it. When he was on the cross, the last that he spoke was, "It is finished." He finished the work the Father gave him to do, and he knew before he went that it would be performed satisfactorily, and he trusted in him to raise him from the dead. And on the third day, according to the Scriptures, he was raised from the dead. And for 40 days he appeared to certain witnesses that he chose there in Jerusalem. He appeared to some here, to some there, to whom he chose, the Scripture says. He could have appeared to Caesar or to in Rome or to Pilate or to Herod. Or he could have went down into Egypt. He could have appeared to anybody he wanted to. But he appeared to certain witnesses there, and he spoke with them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he established his church here in the church and gave the keys to the kingdom of God to his apostles. And they put them right down here in the book. And we've got it with us today. We've got the very words that our Lord spoke and that he gave to the apostles. And we can take confidence in it. We can take confidence in our salvation. We can take confidence that he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men consign slackness, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in due time, beloved, he shall bring home the children of God. He's bought them. He's paid for them. He suffered for them in that own sinless body on the cruel tree of the cross. His heavenly Father spared not his own Son, but he poured out his vengeance and his holiness against sin burned against the sacrifice for sin. And he was made a curse that we might be delivered from the curse. And now, beloved, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from the curse of the law. You're no longer under the law. We're under the law of Christ. We are to serve and obey him, but we're not under the law of Moses anymore. Because his body, we are dead to the law by the body of Jesus Christ. That sinless body, the Lamb of God, has delivered us from the curse of the law. We are no longer under condemnation. And one day, this earth that brings forth thorns and thistles because of the curse is going to be burned up. But there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And in there, there'll be no thorns and no thistles, nothing to remind us of our sins and our rebellion and transgression against God. There'll be there in that land will dwell righteousness. And that's what we're looking for, isn't it? And until that day, may the God of all grace deliver us from sin and wickedness here in the world. Preserve us as he did, even though Lot dwelt in that wicked city. Yet he knew, God knew how to deliver him out of temptation. May he deliver us from the temptations of this world and lead us on to worship and to praise and adore his great and wonderful name, that we might be something that's recognized as not being of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. And may that light shine to the glory and to the honor and to the praise of our God and his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. As one said, "Now glory and dominion be unto him forever and forever. Amen." And we publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more here today that's never confessed their Savior publicly, and you'd love to do that and be baptized as he has commanded, we'll give you that privilege while we assemble together. What shall we sing, brethren?
Page 73.
Page 73. We'll sing and strike the glad hands of fellowship, and the doors of the church are published open to the praise and the honor and the glory of our wonderful Savior. sing when you're ready.
Great is the charming sound harmonious to the ear, and with the echo shall resound, and all the saints shall hear. Grace first ordained the way to save rebellious men, and all the steps that grace displayed, which through the wondrous plans, grace first inscribed my name, ere God eternal was.
We'd like to thank each of everyone that came out. We appreciate you coming out and with us. We invite you to stay for lunch. Lunch has been brought out. We invite you to stay for lunch. And after lunch, we'll have a short business meeting. And anyone that has an interest, we'd be glad for them to stay for that. We invite you to come back whenever you have a mind.
I don't
have any appointments for this month. If I do of any or have any of the
answers,
if not, we'll abide with us and we ask the Lord to dismiss us. Most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we humbly bow in thy presence, desire to thank thee, O Lord, that you dwell with us as it is, and thank thee again for thy church and kingdom here in the world and the body and the heart that thou hast given us in it. And our Father, we thank thee again for that wondrous grace that has rescued us from the curse of the law and from the death of sin and from the sting of sin and the strength of sin, which is the law, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has come and dwelled in righteousness and has delivered us from the curse of the law. Now, Father, we pray that as we take the parting hand, thou will go with each and every one of us as we go our several ways. Be our light in darkness and our strength in weakness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.